ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 7, Chapter 7, and texts 50 to 52. So I'll read text 50 first of all.
Devo suro manushava, yaksho gandharava eva va. Bhajan Mukunda Charanam Swastiman Syadhyathavayam.
Translation: if a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajans, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. This verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. The purport: Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service, whether in demigod society, asura society, human society, or gandharva society. Every living entity should take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. Then text 51 and 52.
Nalang dvijatvam devatvam Rishitvam vasuratmaja aha Prinanaya mukundasya navritang na bahugyata Nadanang natapo neja Nashocham navratanija Priyate nalaya bhaktya Hariranyad virambanam.
My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Purport: Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a brahmana, demigod, rishi, and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead, but if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mamananya bhag sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered saintly because he is properly situated. End of that verse translation. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Dharamasvanushtita pungsang vishvaksena kathasuyaha notpadayed yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Duties, dharma executed by men regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. That's the end of that verse translation. And Srila Prabhupada concludes his purport by stating, the test of perfection is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. No. You can be a big fan over this way. These fans are not now working due to lack of electricity. This one is running on the inverter. So ladies have got some extra tapasya here. Adhikamana tapam. Extra austerity. Is there another entrance on this side?
Yes.
So maybe if ladies come, they can be directed to go around this way. Those who are standing out there. Maybe we can just move all the women over here, because we don't want to put the ladies to austerity. Usually we hear about sadhus, not so much about sadhvis. Sadhvi means she should be a chaste woman, but not supposed to do any other austerity. Shall we move all the ladies under the fan? Otherwise, in the Western countries, you can pay money to go to a sauna. In which you, sauna means it's very hot and you sweat. It's good for health. It's supposed to be very good for health, if that's any consolation. You expect. Well, according to certain philosophers, there's no reason to expect the electricity to come on. The fact that the sun rises every day in the east doesn't mean that it'll rise tomorrow in the east. According to David Hume and other people who wasted their human form of life speculating in various rather absurd ways. Hare Krishna. But anyway, the Tamil will be understood by everyone and the English not by everyone. So maybe have the better mic for the Tamil. Yeah, but 98% understand Tamil. I'm the 2%. Well, here we have in three verses, Srila Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, by the way, please turn your cell phone off. So here in three verses, Prahlad Maharaj expresses some of the basic classical points of pure devotional philosophy, which are expressed in various ways throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. One point is that every living being, not depending on their birth or previous piety or lack of it, can take up to devotional service, and that anyone who does so, even though it may be considered a very fallen or bad condition to be born a low birth, but anyone who takes up the service of Mukunda Charanam, the lotus feet of Mukunda, they are situated in the most auspicious situation. It's very simple Sanskrit, this verse, text 50. Devo, Suro, Manusha, these three levels, the Devas, demigods, the Asuras, the demons, the Manushas, the humans, Va, or Yaksho, Gandharva, Evava, whether one is a Yaksha. Yakshas, they're sometimes in Vedic literature considered to be minor demigods, but they're more considered to be minor Asuras. Srila Prabhupada writes here, a member of a demoniac species. And Gandharvas, they are minor demigods, sub-demigods of a certain class. So Yaksho, Gandharva, Eva, certainly. Va, again the word va means awe. So whether you're a demigod, a human, an asura, or somewhere in between a demigod and a human, or somewhere in between a human and a demon, bhajan Mukunda Charanam, very easy to understand. Those who worship the lotus feet of Mukunda. Mukunda means Muktidata, he who gives liberation. Swastiman, I think you can understand this word. Swasti means auspiciousness, mangalam. And mana, you have that, it comes in Tamil, means possessing the quality of. So swastiman means, it comes directly from Sanskrit, it means possessing the quality of auspiciousness. Syad becomes yata, which means just as. That, how does that come in Tamil? There must be a... at least in the North Indian languages, there's direct equivalents. Yata, tata, jaise, waise, this kind of thing. Yata vayam means us. So Srila Prabhupada gives us here to mean Prahlad Maharaj is speaking on behalf of all the various devotees, especially the Mahajans. Please turn off your cell phone. Especially the Mahajans. Prahlad is mentioned as one of the 12 Mahajanas. What is that? Swayambhu. How does that go? Narada Shambhu. Then? Kumara Kapilo Manuhu. Then? Prahlada. Janaka Bhishma. Balir Vyasakir Vayam. So Vayam, again, you see the name Prahlad comes here and Vayam comes because this time the verse is spoken by Yamaraj. It means we, all of us. Not for me. I'll go on with the tapa. Tapa means heat. Literally. Now in the next verse, Prahlad addresses, he's speaking to the sons of the Asuras, so he addresses them as Asuratmaja, which means who are born from the Asuras. So this Vayam could also take to mean we, all of you, just like if I say here, we are happy that the electricity has come on so we can get some electric fan. So it refers to us who are presently in this room. In this assembly, to be technical, because technically some are outside the room also. So boys, they are Asuratmaja, they're sons of the demons, but they're not demons because they've become devotees by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj. Otherwise, there's no need to say Asuratmaja. You would, generally it's understood, for instance, that the son of an Indian citizen is an Indian citizen. You don't ask someone, are you the son of an Indian citizen? That is the general rule. But sometimes someone or people born in India, they may go, for instance, to America, and their son, although born of Indian parents, is an American citizen. So in that case, you might say an American born of Indian parents. So Asuratmaja means that they're born of demons, but they've undergone some change. By material classification, they could be called Asuras. As in Bhagavad Gita, Prahlad is mentioned, Krishna mentions Prahlad as being a vibhuti of himself. Prahladas, how does that go? Daityanam, Prahladas Daityamevacha, something, I can't remember exactly. So technically he's counted among the Daityas, which is another way of saying the Asuras. But actually he's of a different category. He's become a devotee of Krishna. So these are very important points to understand. They're relevant in the present day also. Even up to the present day, there are people, for instance, who are born into certain families, who think that makes them more eligible to be devotees of Vishnu than others. Is it not? I'm born in Iyengar family, therefore I am automatically I'm in a better position than others. In that case, then they should say then they're also better than Prahlad and Hanuman. Will they dare to do so? I don't think so. So, Prinanaya Mukundasya, those who have affection for Mukunda. This is the point. It refers to persons who give pleasure to Mukunda. So it's not by birth. Nalam Dvijatvam. There you go, it's right there. It's not that simply by being born in a Brahmana family, one can... Nalam Dvijatvam, Devatvam, Rishitvam. Even if you're born in a Rishi family. Rishitvam, Vasuratmajaha, Prinanaya Mukunda. It's not that simply by being born in a demigod family, or a Brahmana family, or even in a Rishi family, that one can please Mukunda. Navritam, Nabahugyata. Even if one is very cultured, has very good high Brahmin culture, which I don't think anyone has today. Or if anyone is very highly learned, then other, not by dhanam, not by charity, not by tapasya, so all that sitting without a fan didn't help you much. Ija, by offering worship. Socham, by maintaining cleanliness. Or by following various strict rules and vows. None of these can satisfy Mukunda, only pure devotional service to him. Now, it's not that all these things are of no importance, but without bhakti to Krishna, it's vidambanam. It's meaningless. It's just an external show. So all these points are very important to understand, and they are iterated throughout Gita and Bhagavatam. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Manghi Paratavya Parshritya Yepi Syuf Papa Yonya Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Tipi Yanti Paramgatim, that even persons who are considered of low birth or sinful birth, such as women, Vaishas and Shudras, if they take full shelter in me, they can achieve the Paramgati, the highest destination. Then immediately after that, Krishna says, King Punar Brahmana Punya Bhaktara Jarshayastata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. He says, then what to speak of the devoted Brahmanas and Kshatriyas who in this miserable temporary world worship me? Pious Brahmanas, Brahmana Punya. In other words, everyone can go to Krishna regardless of their birth if they take full shelter of him by the process of bhakti yoga. Still, it is expected that persons with a better background, they are expected, they're more likely. That's true also. But whatever one may be, and in this age actually, kalo shudra sambhavaha, everyone in this age, whether they claim to be of high birth or low birth, are all of low birth, all are shudras. But everyone can achieve the perfection of life by taking to the process of pure devotional service. But even that is very difficult in Kali Yuga. Circumstances seem to work against us. We hear about devotees who live in Vrindavan, living very austerely, fully engaged in bhajan. Bhajantyananya manasa, they worship Krishna with full mind, nothing else, no diversion except to Krishna. But in the modern age, well, actually in every age, most people are in family life. And in the modern age, that means a lot of struggle. People have to work very long hours. And it's very difficult to always think of Krishna. If you sit in your office with your eyes closed, chanting Hare Krishna, you'll soon lose your job. The boss is paying you to work for him, not to chant Hare Krishna. And you're supposed to give your full attention. Just like Sri Giridhari, who is translating this lecture, Sri Giridhari Prabhu, in his previous job, his previous boss told him that you can just stay here at the, what was it, factory, you're overseeing some design or something. You don't have to go. When you need to sleep, we have space for sleeping. We'll bring you food. There's a shower. So what do you need to go home for? You just stay here. Eat when you need to, sleep when you need to, not very much. Food we'll provide, and you just work. That's all. Just work. Very seriously, they told him. They expected him to give his life, soul, mind, body, words, total pure devotion to his nonsense company. So he thought, well, I'd better give it to Krishna. And here he is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Grihe Thakur, Bone Thakur, Shada Hari Bole Dako. Whether you live at home or you live in the forest, you're a renunciant, always chant the names of Hari. And that might be, that is more possible in traditional society. For instance, the boatman plying the boat over the river can also chant the holy names as he goes. The farmer plowing the field behind the bulls can call out the holy names of the Lord. We hear that the gopis of Vrindavan, while churning the butter, they would chant the pastimes of Krishna. But in modern life, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. There are so many distractions. So, anyway, we should remain steady on the path and make clear that our goal of life is Krishna. Our goal of life is not to make lots of money. If without excessive endeavor you can make lots of money, you may do so, but then you should give it to Krishna for Krishna's service. Jodi thake bahu dhan tabe hao akinchan vaishnave karo upaka. Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises that, well, if you have lots of money, don't be attached to it. Use it for the service of the Vaishnavas. But I don't think anyone here has lots of money. Everything's relative. Some people are poorer than you, some people are richer than you. But none of you are up there with the Ambanis and the Hindujas and the Jayalalitas. Oops, they might arrest me too. We understand from Bhagavatam that the goal of life is to become completely absorbed in Krishna. At the moment, we're not completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. I'm speaking for myself and presuming that at least some of us here have not reached the stage of full, or maybe many or maybe all have not reached the stage of full absorption in thought of Krishna. Yeah, please forget that you have a cell phone, at least while this talk is going on. Whatever it is, just forget it for now. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said one time that you should just hear Harikatha. As long as it's there, you just listen. Yeah. And if someone comes and brings the news that your son is dying, you go on listening. Yeah. That is more important. Pratijanme jamme shabe mata pita pai Krishna guru nahe mele bhaja hoya. Every life we get a mother and father and sons and daughters and nanas and nannies and dadas and daddies, that's Hindi. But that means maternal grandfather, maternal grandmother, paternal grandfather, paternal grand, and on and on and on. There's so many mamas and mummies and chachas and chachis. There's so many. Every life you get so many relatives. But now in the human form of life, the chance, by the grace of Guru, to worship Krishna. So take that seriously. Yeah, that just demonstrates how seriously we have to make Krishna consciousness the center of our life. Everyone can achieve the highest perfection of life. It's not just for brahmacharis and sannyasis, but grihasthas, they should also achieve the highest perfection of life. For instance, Ramananda Rai was the one of the 3.5 most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as Mahavishaya, great sense enjoyer. That's the literal meaning. But the point is, as he was a rich man, or he had a very high pension. So he was involved with much vishay, with much matter of the world. But nevertheless, he was a great devotee, practically of comparable to no one but himself. Ananya, no one else, but like unique, that's the word. So that is possible, and that is desirable, that status is to be sought after. But one should not think that, well, okay, I'm a devotee, I'm initiated, and therefore I'm just going to become the same as Ramananda Rai. Maybe I already am. It requires a tremendous sense of commitment. Pure devotion means full commitment, full absorption. Another example is there of Srivast Thakur, that one evening Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in his home, chanting and dancing, when Srivast became aware that from the women's quarters, that means the women were living separately, there was some commotion going on. Actually, traditionally, the women and men, they wouldn't sit in the same room like this for a religious ceremony. Have you seen previously? No. Now they sit, but in separate quarters, and in the West, even in our temples, the men and women all mix up together, because they're Mlecha culture. So Srivas, he went into the women's quarters in his home, and there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. Heard that before, it's a biblical expression. That Jesus said, those who don't follow me, they'll go to hell, and there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So great lamentation. And Shiva said, so what's the problem? You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in our house. What are you upset about? So he got the news that your son died. And he told you, stupid women, stop making a noise. You'll disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, nowadays you could be accused of misogyny or anti-womanism, but it's recorded there in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he called them stupid. Chaitanya Bhagavat, actually. So you may say, well, very naturally they felt them, they couldn't restrain themselves. And so Shiva said, look, if you don't stop making a noise here and disturbing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm going to go and drown myself in the Ganga right now. So Shiva came back to the kirtan, was chanting Hare Krishna with all the devotees. Hare Nama Krishna Jadavai Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Srimad Husudan. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often chant this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly stopped dancing and said, I don't feel the usual ecstasy. I think something inauspicious has happened in this house. I feel like that. So Shiva said, Prabhu, when you are here, how can there be anything inauspicious? And then Prabhu, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's generally referred to as Prabhu. Prabhu kahe kahe, in Chaitanya Bhagavat also. He's usually referred to as Prabhu. So he said, well, has anything happened wrong? No. Anything? My son died. But anyway, you're here, so that's the greatest bliss. In every life you get sons and they die in due course of time, but in what millions of births can you get the opportunity to have the Supreme Lord dancing in your house? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborated this lila, poetic description. But the point is that this is pure devotion. One should be so much devoted to Krishna that he feels no sorrow, even when there are causes for sorrow. Dukaduke same kritva labha labha jaya jayo. Yeah, everyone, you can say it, it's easy, but living it is not so easy. So one has to practice this tivrena bhakti yogena, practice very intense devotional service to become completely absorbed in thought of Krishna. There's so many distractions in family life especially, even as a brahmacharya or a sannyasi, in which one has no extraneous distraction. His life is committed only to serve Krishna, but still the mind is highly liable to become distracted at any moment. So householders should not become despondent. Despondent means depressed. Maybe it's the opposite of enthusiastic or hopeful. Hopeless. They should know that if we try seriously, then surely Krishna will help us. But at the same time, they shouldn't be complacent and think that, well, I'm a devotee. It's the internal mood that matters. Well, that's true. One may chant 200 rounds a day and not be as pleasing to Krishna as someone who they're very busy and they only chant 16 rounds a day, but they're, it ultimately depends on the mood of the devotee. On the other hand, Krishna has given us the process of devotional service to help us develop in Krishna consciousness. And the more we apply ourselves to it, the more our consciousness should become absorbed in Krishna. So both considerations. Srila Prabhupada gave the story, it's of the prostitute and the brahmana. The brahmana was worshipping the Lord. He thought, I'm very pure, I'm worshipping the Lord. And this prostitute, she's most sinful. And the prostitute thought the same thing. He thought, I'm most sinful, and this brahmana is worshipping the Lord. Somehow I got in this situation. I hope after some lifetime, many lifetimes, I may get the mercy of the Lord. So in that very lifetime, at the end of her life, because she was very humble and she sincerely desired the mercy of the Lord, she got the mercy of the Lord. Whereas the Brahmana, who was very proud and I thought, I'm so very good and I must have the mercy of the Lord, he didn't get it because he took it for granted. So this underlines the point that ultimately it's the attitude in devotional service which is accepted by Krishna. Nevertheless, we are recommended to take up a lifestyle more like the Brahmana who is worshipping the Lord, regularly bathing and doing all activities required in bhakti rather than that of a prostitute. So I would request all the householders, devotees here to take sadhana bhakti very seriously. Don't think it's something that, well, it's for Sundays. Sunday go to church. There is some philosophy going around, I was informed of this. Not exactly philosophy, some speculation is a better word. That it's an emergency situation in the world. We have to preach and make devotees. So there's no time for sadhana or reading Prabhupada's books. Just go and preach. Somehow or other, get people to chant Hare Krishna. Yes. We preach to others to chant Hare Krishna. Well, we also have to chant Hare Krishna ourselves. Apanena koile bhakti shikhan na jai eto siddhanta gita bhagavate gai, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unless one practices dharma, then he can't teach it to others. This Siddhanta is taught in the Gita and this Bhagavatam. So preaching must be done. Yeah. One has to practice devotional service also. It also shouldn't be that one is just sitting at home happily chanting. You should make some effort to bring others to devotional service also. And what is that? Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, acha kare keho na kare pracha pracha kare keho na kare pracha acha pracha namer koroho dui karj tumi sarva guru tumi jagate arj. He said that some people, they practice their bhajan very nicely, but they don't preach. And some, they preach, but they don't practice what they preach. Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, but you do both in relationship to the holy name. Therefore, you are the guru of everyone and you are the best person of all. So it's an easy point to understand. We can't give to others what we don't have ourselves. We're telling others, you chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books. We have to do it ourselves. Especially in Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's letters, we find maybe hundreds of times Srila Prabhupada writes to disciples and emphasizes them rising early, chanting minimum 16 rounds, going for Sankirtan, studying the books, all these activities, attending classes. Again and again and again, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes these points. Yes. Here in this seventh canto of Bhagavatam, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada states, I'm paraphrasing, that all the members of the Krishna conscious movement must study all the books, otherwise they will be embarrassed and insulted when they go to preach. So definitely when we go to preach, well, people say, why should I take to this? And if you don't have a reply, then you'll look like a fool. People have so many objections, atheistic objections, or they say Christ is the only way, or whatever. So many objections we'll get. So we have to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by studying Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing the philosophy in the association of devotees. So I can simply request all the devotees to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. Actually, we should be full-time engaged in Krishna consciousness. For householders, it doesn't seem possible for many of them, being obliged to bring in some money to pay the bills. But definitely there is very good hope for householders also. But we should also understand that Krishna consciousness is not very cheap. We're all hoping for the mercy of Krishna. We ourselves have to make very serious efforts in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada had a program so that householders don't have to remain in the cities. They can live with devotees on the land very simply, and in this way they can always be with devotees and always and cultivate Krishna consciousness full-time as householders. Very few of our householders are agreeable to do that. And most of them have very They have reasons for not doing that. But the main reason I see in most cases is that they're just not willing to do so. Too much attached to their present situation. So anyway, make some plan. Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Pancha Shaurdvang Vanang Rajit, at the age of 50, go to the forest. That's why I say, read Prabhupada's books, and you'll get all this again and again and again. Hammer, 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 hammering. Yes. Sometimes that hammering is required. Actually, most of the time it's required. It's not that by leading a mediocre life up to the point of death that one can all of a sudden become intensely absorbed in pure love of Krishna. Yes. So at least by the age of 50, when your children are settled, don't go on working forever. Then become full-time in devotional service. If you're already past 50, well, you're running over time. And if you're not yet reached 50, well, you never know if you will reach 50 in this very body. And though you're laughing, well, if it actually happens that one of your family members passes away, then you feel very disturbed. But we should know that we all have to die. May happen at the age of 5 or 50 or 90, but everyone has to leave the body. So this human form of life is meant for doing whatever is required so we don't get born again. There is one verse from Bhagavatam which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his childhood, he put on his wall and he would look at this every day. And he said that I will preach this verse until my last breath. That verse is, you should all try to, I'll say the Sanskrit and then the translation, you all try to understand what is the deep import of this verse. Labdhva sudurlabhamidang bahu sambhavante manusham arthatam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetana patedanumritya yava nishrayasaya vishayakaru sarvatasyat. This human form of life is very rarely achieved. After many, many births, it is achieved. Oh, yeah, okay. Heard that before. You got this human form of life after many, many births. Jeev Jago, wake up. Utishta, Jagrata. But now we got it. Now we're in that situation where we have it. It won't last very long. We have to die soon. Human life is very valuable because it gives us the opportunity to understand all these points. Before our inevitable death, which will come very soon, we should do whatever is required so we don't get born again. And we should not cultivate sense gratification, which is available in every species of life. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Yeah, put this.
From the lecture, I understood that tapa and vrata are not important, only bhakti is important.
No, that's not what's stated. It's not stated that tapa and vrata are not important. It's stated that without bhakti, they have no, they're empty. That is the point. In devotional service, some austerity has to be there. We don't recommend extreme austerities, especially in Kali Yuga, that is not recommended. But one should be, austerity means one should be prepared to take trouble in the service of the Lord. Or as you have mentioned, observing Ekadashi observances. So the Ekadashi observance, that's both tapa and vrata. Ekadashi vrata. So this point should be understood. It's not that they're not important. Without bhakti, they're meaningless, but that is required in bhakti also. Another point here, that one cannot please the Lord simply by bahu gyata, being very learned. That doesn't mean that devotees should not try to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Definitely devotees must try to understand this. But the otherwise, if we don't know what we're doing or why we should be doing it, how can we do it properly? But simply to know it without internalizing it and actually developing a sense that Krishna te kila cheshta, everything we're doing for the pleasure of Krishna only, without that, everything is simply a show. Very good, apt words Srila Prabhupada has translated into English. That is the point. Okay, but as the mic's here, let it be here now. Yeah, vrata is often for vrata usually means there's tapa involved. To take a vow usually means a vow to do some austerity. Yeah.
What is the difference between tapa and vrata?
Yeah, vrata means it's making a sankalpa, making a mental vow to do so, and actually one can not only mentally but verbally say it also. And traditionally there's some procedures to be followed also in making a vrata. One will go to the temple and say one's... And tapa is the actual performance, actually doing that. In the modern age, if people can not drink tea and coffee and not buy bread and biscuits from outside and only take Krishna prasadam and rise early in the morning and not eat meat and fish, that is about as much tapasya as anyone can follow in the modern age. On top of that, many of our devotees take austerities by, for instance, going out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books on every Purnima, I believe it is, at, or is it Amavasya, at Tiruvannamalai. Purnima. At Tiruvannamalai, devotees, so many pilgrims come there and devotees go and spend all night distributing books. So this is tapasya. We shouldn't, at least we should stick to this minimum and not decrease that. Nowadays we find many devotees, even they're initiated, and no one ever told them, they don't have any idea that they're not supposed to eat food cooked by non-devotees, and so they buy some biscuits or some... In North India, there's this Haldirams, you probably have it here in Chennai also. And they buy something from that and they offer it and say, well, it's prasad, it's offered. Bogus, completely bogus. And say, oh, you're just into rules and regulations, bhakti should be spontaneous. This is rascaldom, it's a complete misuse. Yes, it's rascaldom. It's a misuse of the principles and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to compromise it in a way that Srila Prabhupada specifically told us not to do. So it's rascal. It's not a minor thing. It's this kind of attitude which leads to the total downfall of the sampradaya. That even the very minimum standards given to us by the acharya, Srila Prabhupada is the acharya, we don't want to follow. You may say, well, my guru, he doesn't make a big fuss. Why are you making a big fuss? But we should understand that guru means, in our ISKCON, means they should follow Srila Prabhupada. We should know what Srila Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada is the acharya for the whole of ISKCON. So you may say, well, it's very convenient to buy some vegetarian food from the shop. This idea, what is convenient food that we like to eat, that came in Bengal because it's convenient to eat fish. There are so many rivers. So he came to the idea that, well, you can eat fish also and be a devotee. Yeah, you had a small doubt. Arjuna also had a small doubt. It might not have seemed to be such a big thing. Yeah. At 50, one should go to the forest. Actually, he's quoting Shastra. It's not something that Srila Prabhupada invented.
For days when men were getting married or settling their life.
Yeah, nowadays people get married at the age of 35. or 40. Actually, if you've lived as a bachelor to age of 35 or 40, then why bother getting married at all? Just be a brahmachari. Yes, that's true. So if you get married at the age of 40, then what do? Go to the forest at the age of 80, but you've already been burned by that time. Married at 40, heart attack at 42, and helicopter to Apollo Hospital that cost another 2 lakhs, and then CPR, what is that? ICU for another, cost another 2 lakhs, and then you died anyway. You may think, well, this is not very nice to make jokes like this. But it's not a joke. Nowadays, everyone, their mother is 90 years old, they take her to the hospital, they spend an extra 5 lakhs and she dies anyway with all tubes sticking in and out. So, why not just die at home and chant Hare Krishna? Save the money and use it for Krishna's service. Why Why give all the money to some hospital? Anyway, they're going to die, so what's the point? Yes, this point, people get married late, so how does this go to the forest at the age of 50 apply? Srila Prabhupada is very serious to reintroduce Vedic culture, Varnashram. The whole modern society is completely skew-whiff, off course. So people should marry young and finish off their family duties and be ready for renunciation. This age of 50, go to the forest, that doesn't necessarily mean sannyas, that means vanaprastha life, where both husband and wife together, they become detached from the family, intense involvement in the family, and concentrate more on spiritual activity. So that's the point, that during the early adult life, it's absorption in family, that's inevitable for most. But then as you get older, the children are settled, they can look after themselves, then withdraw and concentrate more on spiritual activities. So it should not be the norm that people get married at the age of 35 or 40. In modern life, then they take a loan for the a loan for education, and you want to pay that off before you get married, and you don't pay it off till you go on, do your PhD, you finish at the age of 30, and then you have to pay it off, and then already half your life is gone. So, and now this is just, you could say it's just some material advice, but it's very good advice for everyone. Don't get into the debt trap. Very dangerous. Fire, disease, and debts should be stopped immediately. In the modern age, they're offering, take a loan, but then you become a debt slave. So really this, going back to the land, living simply, this is Srila Prabhupada's social revolution, which can free us from the bondage of this modern demoniac society. So that's a good point. If you're already caught in that situation, well, chant Hare Krishna. Make the best use of a bad bargain is an English saying which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. It's an old use of the English word bargain. It's a bad deal. A bad deal. In that saying, the word bargain is used in a way which has, in other uses, become archaic. Anyway, that's a point of length. That's a linguistic point. Hare Krishna. Yeah, there's another question here.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that four kinds of people don't surrender unto me. And if Guru's mercy is there, can people belong to those categories, like asuras? Can they also become devotees?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Four kinds of people, Krishna says, don't surrender unto me. If Guru's mercy is there, can they surrender? Well, actually, of course, Guru's mercy ultimately means Krishna's mercy. Sangsara dava nala lidha loka charnaya karanya ghana ghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vandegaro shri charnaravindam. Krishna is the kalyana gunarnava. Do you know what that means? Means the nothing to do with marriage. Kalyana in Tamil means marriage, but it means that which is beneficial. So Krishna is the ocean of all beneficial qualities. So the Guru is prayed to in this analogy. Actually, it's a metaphor, but anyway. He is described as being the cloud that takes the water from the ocean and sprinkles it over the world which is burning in the forest fire of distress. So the mercy is distributed indiscriminately. Anyone can take it. Some people take it and some don't. Generally, those who are pious will take it. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jignyasur arthaarthi gyani cha bharatarshaba. Four kinds of people tend to take to devotional service. four kinds of pious people: the distressed, the desirous of wealth, the curious, and the knowledgeable. Now, demoniac people may also be distressed, but they don't have a tendency to approach Krishna in such a situation. They may fall into any of these four categories, but they're not inclined to take to Krishna consciousness. They may even have Atmagyan, knowledge of the self, at least superficially. For instance, we find here in this seventh canto, after the death of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu instructed his family members in the science of the self. Don't be distressed, because anyway the Atma is eternal and the body is temporary. So it's a matter of attitude. Those who are demoniac in attitude, they do not take to Krishna consciousness. Those who are Murha, Naradhama, Maya Aparita Jnana, and Asaram Bhavam Ashritaha, these four categories, they don't take to Krishna consciousness due to bad mentality. Matiena Krishna Paratasvato Vamitho Pipadyeta Grihavrata Nam Adanta Gobhya Vishatang Tamisram Punaf Punas Charavita Charavana Nam. Certain persons, because they are Grihavrata, they are determined to try to enjoy their senses in family life, they do not take to Krishna consciousness. Neither by the advice of others, or even if they may make some show of pursuing the truth or being spiritual, by their uncontrolled senses, they're dragged into hell. Or rather, they enter into hell. It's willing. Vishatam tamisram. They willingly enter into darkness of ignorance. They again and again chew that which has already been chewed. They seek sense gratification as a human, a hog, a dog, a caterpillar, a snake, a chimpanzee, and so on. It is possible, by the mercy of Krishna and by his devotees, that people of demoniac mentality will change. In fact, one of the most prominent people in Tamil Nadu is, maybe he's undergoing a change. It's a very famous politician who's been an atheist all his life and seems to be taking interest in Sri Ramanujacharya. So anything's possible. Asura Sokol Pailo Charan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. All the demons attain to your lotus feet. Practically in the modern age, people are more of the demoniac mentality than the divine mentality. Doesn't mean that when we think of a demon, we think of someone with fangs coming out of their mouths, and long nails. Actually, that's more a description of Nrisimhadeva, divine nails and teeth. But it may be that some people of demoniac mentality, they're actually very suave, urbane, sophisticated, and very... in their general dealings, quite gentlemanly, but they want that there should be slaughterhouses and abortion clinics, and they think it's very good to have all these things. Now there was just the British election. Whoever had been voted in, they weren't going to stop slaughterhouses. In their election campaign, they'll go around and shake people's hands and smile at them and show what a nice person they are. They're not going to stop the slaughterhouses. Yeah. What to speak of the slaughter of the cows, neither of them are going to stop the slaughter of Arabs. They're all sending out their troops to fight and kill the citizens of other countries, who are just ordinary people like you who get up in the morning, go to work, and all of a sudden there's some British bomb landing on your head and wiping out your whole family. There is great hope in the Sankirtan movement. It is very powerful. Dino hino joto chilo hariname udharilo tar shaki jagai madhai. Even great demoniac persons like Jagai and Madhai can be uplifted by the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. But it's not some mediocre practice of Krishna consciousness that's going to change the world. It will require a tremendous dedication on the part of the devotees. Which is another reason why those who are older should come out and fully engage in practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. You can sit at home and chant Hare Krishna and maybe go back to Godhead, but what about all the others? Here in this seventh canto, we have also Prahlad Maharaj says, famous verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. He quoted this in regards to his mission as he landed in America. Naivod vijay paradaryataya vaitaranyas tradvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittam shocheta to vimukacheta sa indriyarta maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimurhan. He said that, I'm quite happy. His name is Prahlad, which means very happy. His father gave him that name thinking he'll be very happy being a big demon like me. But Prahlad was happy because Prahlada Lada Dayan. He was a great devotee of he who gives great happiness to Prahlad, namely Nrsimha. So Prahlad prayed to Nrsimhadev that I'm very happy because I'm always, my consciousness is always absorbed and in thoughts of your glories and in praising them. It's nectar, but nevertheless, I also lament for those fools and rascals who are inimical to your service, who live only for the sake of satisfying the senses, and who are crushed by the weight of trying to enjoy illusory happiness. So that's another reason for those who are older to come out of family life and try to help bring others in into Krishna consciousness, not into family life. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.